Grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good morning. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad that you are here today. Brother Nick is away with our youth at Veritas, and so we want to keep them in our prayers. I know they're having a wonderful time because I've seen the pictures. I do want to share just a couple of quick announcements. One is that I want to invite you to sign in. You can do that in one of two ways. If you're worshiping with us online, welcome to you as well. You can scan the QR code on your screen. That same QR code is available for you in the sanctuary on the back of your bulletin, and you can pull out your phone or your smart device and open your camera, and that will take you to a webpage where you can sign in and give and learn, see what's coming up in the life of our church family, and register for things as that is necessary as well. Or you can be old school, and you can use the Connect tab, which is also in your bulletin in the room. There's a little tab inside there, and if you would complete the information for us there, and you can also share prayer concerns. You can do all that online as well. On the back of the Connect tab, there is a sign up. We have a whole bunch of special services coming up, especially during Holy Week, for Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then, of course, Easter Sunday. Those are coming up soon, and if you'd like to participate in those, we need some extra readers. We need some folks to help with processionals and things like that, and folks to help set up for some of those services. And if you would like to volunteer to do that, you can use the Connect tab. There's also a sign-up form on the webpage that you go to with the QR code, and you can do it that way as well. Today's message, we continue our Les Miserables series, and we meet a young woman named Fontaine, and Fontaine's life is tragic. And so today we're going to be talking about undeserved suffering. And so I want to encourage you to be in prayer as we head that way this morning. I'm so glad that you are here. Let's stand now and share the peace of Jesus Christ with one another. Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad that you're here. As we greet one another in person, you're welcome to greet each other in the chat if you like. You may also use this time to sign in or download the Sanctuary Bulletin by scanning the QR codes or by using the link below. May the peace of Christ be with you as we worship together.
Good morning, church family. Pleasure to be with y'all this morning. I want to point out one thing. Jenny's already nixed all my jokes, except I didn't ask her if I could tell this one. But I do want you to note that today's offertory is take and eat, have communion, and it's written by a guy named Bacon. So it's got to be a good day. It's bound to be a good day. I hope you'll now please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. Sing God's praise.
Give thanks to the Lord above.
Seek the Lord and trust God's strength.
Proclaim God's wonderful works.
Live in the spirit of love and grace.
Give thanks to Christ's marvelous love.
The hymn of praise is number 533, We Shall Overcome. Please join me in the invocation. Spirit of God, you intercede for us with sighs too deep for words. When all seems lost, you heal our hearts and give us strength to carry on. Set our hearts and minds on you, great Spirit, that we may know your abiding presence and your never-failing love. Amen.
You may be seated. Today we're talking about hurt, and there is a lot of hurt in the world, not only here in our own community, but across the globe. And we have several opportunities to help people who are hurting. One of those ways is through our regular offering that goes to support the ministries here at Asbury. Today, since we're celebrating the sacrament of communion, Holy Communion, we also receive our community ministries offering, and there's a plate there in the center of the aisle for you to give to that. That goes to support people who are in need in our local community. Both of those options are also available for those of you who choose to give online. Today in your bulletin, you have a couple of order forms. One is for our special Easter offering for Asbury, and then there is also an Easter lily order form that you can use to order lilies in honor or memory of loved ones to have in worship on Easter Sunday. On Sunday, March 19th, across the United Methodist Church, across the globe, that we celebrate UMCOR Sunday, and on that day we take a special offering. One of the wonderful things about the United Methodist Committee on Relief is when a disaster occurs, we can give, and in those situations, in case of an international disaster or something that's more local, 100% of the proceeds that we give at that time go to support those particular people in their time of need. The reason that we can say that is because the administrative costs for the United Methodist Committee on Relief are covered through the UMCOR Sunday offering. And so I want to encourage you to plan to give and to give generously to the United Methodist Committee on Relief. I'm considering giving exactly what I give per week, so a regular weekly offering, in addition to the one that I will give to Asbury. Amen? And you may want to try to do that too. I know not all of us can, but you may want to prayerfully consider that. We're going to watch a video now that talks about how UMCOR is often the very first to arrive, and even more often, the very last to leave when a community suffers a disaster.
UMCOR understands that this is a long-term event and will be there alongside of the conferences, the People of the United Methodist Church, and our external partners through the recovery process. These are the folks who, either as a volunteer or part of their conference personnel staff, coordinate and anticipate and plan for events such as this, readying their resources and their volunteers even in advance, and even as it unfolds, staging their relief supplies, anticipating response needs, securing resources so that they can respond more quickly. It is those people of the conferences in the United Methodist Church who are UMCOR's feet on the ground. Pray for the people, for those who are first responders, those who are helping, and of course for all of those who are in harm's way. They do express that they feel those prayers, and it means a lot to them to know that we are surrounding them and lifting them up in prayer. People who want to do something can easily make kits, relief kits. That information is on UMCOR's website. Another thing that people can do clearly is to donate to UMCOR. 100% of the donor dollar goes to helping people in need. I just want to say what a privilege it is to be a part of a connection of United Methodist people, and also part of the National Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster, that network of voluntary sector folks and generous givers is so powerful and really does make a difference in the lives of people.
To support UMCOR, we want to encourage you to come back if you attend the sanctuary launch service next Sunday. And after we eat together and have a time of fellowship, we're going to make some of those disaster kits that will go to help people in times of crisis. So I want to encourage you to come for that as well. And now I'd like to invite our ushers to come forward as we remember that God blesses us, that we might be a blessing to others. Aware of the hurts of the world, and we pray that you will use these, our gifts, which we return to you out of our love for you, in the hope that you will use them to bless others and to alleviate heartache and grief and suffering in our world. We pray this in Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen. This Lent, our worship series is based on the story of Les Miserables. And last week, we met the hero of the story, Jean Valjean. After 19 years, Valjean was released from prison, and he had been sent there for stealing bread to feed his starving family. Everywhere he went, Valjean was harassed and excluded and turned away until one night he fell asleep in the church cemetery. A kind bishop found him and brought him inside, served him a hot meal, and gave him a warm bed. But how did Valjean repay the bishop's kindness? By stealing the church's silver. Well, he got caught, and he told the police that the bishop had given him the silver as a gift. Well, they arrested him and took him back to the church and told the bishop what he had said. In an act of grace, the bishop said that it was true. He did give him the silver. And then he walked to the table and grabbed two precious silver candlesticks, handed them to Valjean, and said, "You forgot I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind?" Well, the bishop sent the police away and told Valjean that he was to use that silver to become an honest man. Now today we meet Valjean some 8 years later. Now going by the alias Madeleine, Valjean became a kind and generous businessman and the mayor of his town. Working there in Mayor Madeleine's bead factory was a young woman named Fantine. She was beautiful in the way that all too often leads to scorn. Her co-workers bullied her, and when they discovered that unmarried Fantine was working to provide for her daughter, Cosette, well, they besmirched her character to the factory foreman. The foreman kicked Fantine to the streets. Mayor Madeleine, who owned the factory, witnessed all of this, but stood by and did nothing. Fantine did everything she had to earn money to provide for her daughter, Cosette. She went down to the docks and sold a locket. For 10 francs, she sold her hair, and then she sold her teeth. Finally, in an act of desperation, she sold herself. Matthews Adair is now going to share the song that Fantine sings afterward.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by, hope was kind and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. But I was young and unafraid, and dreams were made and used and wasted. There was no ransom to be paid, no song unsung, no wine untasted. But the tigers come at night with their voices soft as thunder, as they tear your hope apart, turn your dreams to shame. He slept a summer by my side. He filled my days with endless wonder. He took my childhood in his stride. But he was gone when autumn came. And still I dream he'll come to me, and we will live the years together. But there are dreams that cannot be.
That was marvelous. Song kind of moves me to tears almost. Excuse me. Today's scripture reading is from Romans, and this is a letter that Paul wrote before he ever set foot in Rome. And this was his way of introducing himself and speaking to the Christians there in Rome. I'll be reading from chapter 8, verses 18 through 28. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, welcome again to Asbury, and if you're joining us online, I want to encourage you to sign in using the QR code. You may also give and register for upcoming events as well. Just a quick heads up, if you're worshiping online with us today, there are two film clips in the sermon, and they are pretty close to each other. YouTube has been flagging those for copyrighted material, which they are, and we have a stream license for that, as well as a video streaming license for that, but they're catching them and holding them for just a moment. If you'll be patient, the stream will come back, and then those will be restored later on. If that happens again today, we will have a very special solution for you next Sunday. Amen, everybody in the room? We do not want to leave you out, but there is some content in there that is important for us to see, especially today. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, God of all love, God who leads us through, we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. The poet Langston Hughes penned these words: hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is like a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field frozen with snow. There is something deep within us that yearns for stories to end with, and they lived happily ever after. Sometimes we forget, though, that fairy tales have a lot of pain before that happy ending. If you think about it, the princess has to kiss that ugly frog. Hansel spends months locked in a cage. While Sleeping Beauty rests, her mother dies of a broken heart. Originally, the brothers Grimm ended the story of Sleeping Beauty with these words: they lived happily ever after, as they always do in fairy tales, not quite so often, however, in real life. I mean, how true is that? As a pastor, one of the most solemn things that I am tasked with is to speak God's word in the midst of tragedy. One of my duties in funerals and graveside services and in visitation is to usher in a season of holy grief. And to do that, I have to name the dream that has died. His chair is empty. Her voice is no longer at the other end of the phone. He will not dance with his daughter at her wedding. Fantine's story is tragic. She joins the ranks of the women of the streets down at the docks, and one evening, a man comes to her. Victor Hugo calls him a dandy, which in those terms, in those days, was one of those guys who's overly concerned with his appearance. Dressed to the nines, not a single hair out of place, athletic build. Well, the dandy comes and propositions Fantine, and when she refuses, he does not relent. She has to scratch his flawless face to rebuff him. He calls for the police, and who shows up but Valjean's old nemesis, his jailer, Javert. Valjean, now posing as Mayor Madeleine, passes by that way too. And let's watch what happens.
A moment of your time, Javert. I do believe this woman's tale.
Monsieur le Maire.
You've done your duty. Let her be. She needs a doctor, not a jail.
Monsieur le Maire.
Man, speak.
Where will she end? This child without a friend. I've seen your face before. Show me some way to help you. How have you come to grief in such a place as this?
Monsieur, don't mock me now, I pray. It's hard enough I've lost my bride. You let your foreman send me away. Yes, you were there and turned aside. I never did no wrong.
Is it true what I've done?
My daughter's clothes is dying.
To an innocent soul.
If there's a God above.
Had I only known then.
He'd let me die instead.
In his name. My task has just begun. I will take her to the hospital.
Monsieur le Maire.
Where is your child?
With an innkeeper at Montfermeil.
I will send for her immediately. I will see it done.
Mayor Madeleine takes Fantine to the hospital. And meanwhile, Javert receives word that Valjean has been captured. He shares this news with the mayor, who is the real Valjean, incognito. Valjean struggles. Should he turn himself in and get away? Or should he allow a stranger to go to prison in his place? Well, of course, he does the right thing. He goes to the courtroom and reveals that he is Jean Valjean. And he tells the court, if they want to find him, that he will be at the hospital. And here's what happens there.
Cosette, it's turned so cold. Cosette, it's past your bedtime. You've played the day away, and soon it will be. The light is fading. Don't you see? The evening star appearing. Come to me. rest against my shoulder. How fast the minutes fly away, and every minute colder.
Dear Fontaine, Cosette will be here soon. Dear Fontaine, she will be by your side.
Come, Cosette, my child, where did you go?
Be at peace. Be at peace evermore.
My Cosette.
She live in my protection.
Take us home.
Your child will want for nothing.
Good monsieur, you come from God in heaven. Tell Cosette I love her, and I'll see her when I wake.
Fantine's dream dies. She never gets to see Cosette. And she dies with the dim hope that Valjean will take care of her daughter. As people of faith, what are we to say when dreams die? First of all, I want to begin by saying that there are no simple answers. Clichés don't cut it. And simple answers like it was just their time, or God was punishing them, or God needed another angel, don't help, even when our intentions are good. The simple answers just don't cut it, but fortunately, God is big enough for the big questions. Amen? God is big enough to handle our grief, our anger, and even our doubt. God does not mind our tears. God does not mind our questions. God doesn't mind if we ball up our fists and shake them at heaven and scream, "How could you do this to me?" In the midst of our sorrow and pain, when we stand before the God who flung the stars across the sky, the God of love and justice and power and might, when we see God in all of God's power and glory and majesty, the easy answers just don't cut it. There are no simple answers. And the answers, such as they are, don't come easy either. They only come with pain plus time and prayer. It's the only way. And you can take that from someone who has been there. Ultimately, there are no satisfactory answers this side of heaven. But there are some things that we are just not meant to understand, and that is where faith comes in. You see, faith is not believing without a shadow of a doubt. Faith is not the opposite of doubt. Faith is simply trusting God in the midst of doubt and disbelief and anger and heartache. And by that definition, some of the most faithful people I have ever known have been the ones with the deepest doubts. So how do we trust God? How do we have faith in the midst of doubt? Well, first of all, we affirm that God is good. God does not seek to harm us. God does not kill innocent children. God does not cause rape or war. People do that. Over the last couple of weeks, I've mentioned my friend Vida Calhoun, and Ashley Burks grew up with her, and she can vouch for this. When you were around Vida, you just knew you were loved. Amen? She was just one of those people, and her hugs were the best hugs you ever got. After Vida's doctor told her that she was terminally ill and had only a few months, perhaps, to live, I went over to her house to visit. And by then, Vita weighed less than 100 pounds. And so she's sitting there in her recliner, and her grandson is playing with his toys on the floor. And Vita's dream was to see that little boy grow up. We were talking about that, and she was mourning it. And she looks at me, and she says, "Hammett, sometimes I ask God why he did this to me." And then she smiled and said, "But he didn't do this to me. He loves me too much. There's something else in this world, evil, the devil, I don't know what to call it, but it did this, not God." You see, Vita Calhoun believed that God was good even in the midst of her questions and doubt. We also affirm that God loves freedom. God did not create us as puppets on a string. God gave us the freedom to choose and the power to act on those choices. Sometimes we choose what God would choose for us, but sometimes we don't. And sometimes there are consequences for that. God has provided for has taken care of the eternal consequences in Jesus Christ, but that does not protect us from physical harm. Third, we affirm that God is with us, redeeming our lives. God is with us in each and every moment, bringing good out of evil. In our scripture reading, which Baker shared just a moment ago, Paul writes these powerful words. "I believe that the present suffering," and you know, he's been beaten and bloody and he's been in jail. He knows what he's talking about. "I believe that the present suffering is nothing compared to the coming glory that is about to be revealed to us. We know that God works all things together for good for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose." Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed it before, but Paul does not say all things are good, amen? He doesn't make that claim. He says all things work together for the good. That is the power of redemption. God's amazing and mystical power to transform even evil into good. Like Fontaine, we cannot always see the good that comes from our suffering, but by faith we trust that good will come. Sometimes that happens in this life, but sometimes not. We'll begin to see next week that in Les Miserables, God redeems Fontaine's life through Jean Valjean. And God can do that through you and through me too. Reminds me of a young girl named Eva. And one night during their bedtime prayers, Eva's mom shared with her daughter about a teenage girl named Amy. And Amy was losing her hair. Eva grabbed her mom's hand and prayed, "Jesus, please hold Amy's hair on her head." Well, doctors eventually diagnosed with Amy with alopecia, which is a condition that causes hair loss, and sometimes that is permanent. When Eva found out, she grabbed her mother's hand one more time, closed her eyes, and prayed, "Dear Jesus, if you won't hold Amy's hair on her head, would you please hold Amy?" Eva's mom realized in that moment that God sometimes doesn't move mountains. Instead, he moves us. And I hope I don't embarrass him too much if I tell you, but I cannot think of a better example than our acolyte today, Lennox Byers. If you've seen Lennox over the last year and a half, Lennox had some really long hair, didn't he? And just a couple of weeks ago, Lennox went and got a haircut, and he donated his hair to children who have lost theirs. Amen? And amen. Amen. Let us pray. God, we trust you in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our grief, in the midst of horror. We trust that you are working all things together for the good. And even more than that, Lord, we know that in small and sometimes in insignificant, but sometimes in big ways, you work through us to bring hope and to bring healing, and to alleviate pain and suffering for others. And so we pray that you will open our eyes, just as Jean Valjean's were opened to the pain of Fantine. Open our eyes to the pain of those around us. Help us to never turn aside, but to intercede on their behalf and to serve as your ambassador in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. As we transition to our service of Holy Communion, I want those of you who are our guests today to know that you are more than welcome to join us at the Lord's table. In the United Methodist Church, we believe that this is Christ's table, it's not ours, and so all of God's children are welcome to come and freely receive. If you are worshiping with us online, you are also welcome to join us. You'll need a little bread and a little grape juice or wine, if that's what you have on hand, will do. I'll guide you through that when the time is appropriate for you to take and receive. Let's join together. If you'll turn, there's two pieces of literature that you need. One is your hymnal, and if you'll turn to page 7 in your hymnal, I will begin there. Your first prayer will be on page 8. You will also want to have the Faith We Sing open. It's this, in fact, I'm remembering that I need to take mine today. It's on page 2257. We will, are the sung responses for this service. And so I invite you to turn to 2257, and we will start with 2257B, because I'm not singing a solo for y'all, amen? Megan, I'm not singing after Megan, so anyway. Nobody wants to hear that anyway. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us share our confession to God in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, singing together. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to evil, sin, and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks to you, shared it with his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on us and on our gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Gracious and loving God, we lift up all who are ill or in special need of your grace. Today we pray especially for Clifford Smith, Val Carr, Jean Hammett, Mark Schimmer, Edith Roberts, Hugh Roberts, Gail Pulley, Arlen Thomas, Deborah Gangloff, Bob and Janie Clements, and others whom we name before you in our hearts. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup which we bless is a sharing in the blood of Jesus Christ. As those who are assisting in serving communion today, come forward to receive. I want to go ahead and invite those who are worshiping online with us to, you're welcome to go ahead and receive. There are gluten-free wafers available for those who need them, and if you'll just ask your server for one of those when you come, we would be glad to get you one. Let's pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the people of God said, Amen. If you are not a part of our church family and you'd like to become a member of Asbury by transferring your letter from another church, whether that's a United Methodist church or another Christian church, you're welcome to do that on the singing of our closing hymn. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ and received the sacrament of baptism, Brother Nick or I would love to visit with you about that. You can contact either one of us, and my email address is there on your screen if you're worshiping online. It's also in your bulletin if you'd like to get in touch with us that way. Let's stand now and we'll sing Spirit of the Living God, number 393. We'll sing it through twice.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you were here today, and just a couple of quick announcements. You're always welcome to schedule a meeting with me or Brother Nick, and there are links available to you through the QR code or also in the bulletin. We will be collecting deodorant for City Connections over the next couple of weeks, and so if you go to Target, go to Walmart, want to pick up some extra deodorant, that will go to folks who in need in our community. Next Sunday, we do have our Uniting to Serve potluck, and we want to encourage you to plan on that and come back, and we'll be making UMCOR disaster kits as well. Next Sunday, we meet Fontaine's daughter, Cosette, and we see that Jean Valjean does make good on his promise to raise her as his own. And so we'll talk about seeking and saving the lost next Sunday. We want to encourage you to come back for that. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen. So glad that you joined us today. If this service has blessed you, I encourage you to share it with someone else. You can do that by sharing it on your Facebook page, or you can text or email the link. If it's your first time to worship with us, there are a couple of ways that you may follow up. Be sure to check out our website at the link below. Click on the visitor information button near the top of the home page. There you can fill out an online connect card to help us to get to know you a little bit better. You may also sign up for our email list and find out how to join Asbury there. You may also connect with us by following us on Facebook and by subscribing to our YouTube page. Whoever you are and wherever you are always welcome at Asbury. If you live in Central Arkansas, we'd love to meet you in person. You can find us at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in West Little Rock. If you have any questions or want to visit about joining our church family, email me at the link below. I look forward to seeing you at Asbury.